For some time now, health experts and advocacy groups have been pushing for junk food ads to be banned in Australia. Well, now the UK has done just that, prohibiting before 9 p.m. TV and all online ads for high-fat, salt and sugar products in a bid to tackle childhood obesity. The UK government estimates the ad ban will prevent around 20,000 cases of childhood obesity. Dr. Dwayne Meller is a dietitian and science communicator at Aston Medical School in the UK. Welcome to Radio National Breakfast.
Hello.
Hello. Just give us an overview, if you would, of what foods will be included in this ban.
So this will include a lot of the foods, you think, like burgers and sort of things like fried chicken, but also potentially could catch things like nuts and cheese because it's counting on sort of the high fat, salt and sugar content. So it'll catch a lot of the foods that we want children to eat less of, but also possibly some of the foods, you know, particularly things like cheeses and nuts, which we might want to encourage as part of a healthy, balanced diet. But then again, do we really need to advertise nuts to children? It's a step in the right direction, but yeah, there's a few gaps and a few things the law possibly actually misses.
Well, tell us what you think it misses.
So if you look at a large retailer of fast food, they can't market their products like the burger on the TV screen or the chicken, but they can still have their logo and their brand there. So you've got to look at what's been taken out and what's been left behind. And also, it only looks at TV and online. It doesn't look at on-street advertising, so out-of-house advertising, those big boards you see around our towns and cities. So what you could have is you could have a link to a brand that a child might see on TV, then they see the billboard outside. So they're still getting the connection through advertising, which may is thought to drive a lot of the eating behaviour. So it's a step in the right direction, but it still misses a few things.
Yeah, I read the creatives were seeing this as an opportunity almost to cleverly still obviously try and market the products without actually showing the product.
Yeah, and it can do that because the brands, for particularly the big brands, are so familiar, you don't actually need to see the product. You know, if you look at certain chicken brands or certain burger brands, we know them by just seeing their icons, their symbols. We don't need to see the food anymore. So that's ingrained in our culture. We know that a certain red and white colour will be a certain drink. You know, we've got to break down some of these things. So we need to look at what we're replacing with it. And there's been some great examples in Australia in the past. You know, Nutrition Australia did a really good fruit and veg advert by sort of having jokes about carrots. We need to have those sort of fun adverts promoting healthy eating to sort of crowd out some of the noise we get from the unhealthy advertisers.
You're listening to Radio National Breakfast. Dietitian and science communicator at Aston Medical School, Dwayne Meller, is my guest, and we're talking about a new ban on junk food advertising in the UK. Now, as we said, the government says the ban will prevent around 20,000 cases of childhood obesity. What do you make of that claim?
We've had a lot of modelling, and when they brought in the Transport for London ad ban for similar sort of things on the tube in London, there's a claim of how they did that, and the modelling of that was a little bit suspect because it compared people in Manchester to people in London, and they have very different culture, very different diets. And just because one was exposed to it, it sort of used a lot of maths to try and predict this. I think it will have an effect. 20,000 is a big number, and they've claimed it to reduce the calorie intake by 7.2 billion calories per year. I'm not sure how they come to those figures. It's based on a lot of modelling, but a lot of prediction. But we need to connect that to having healthier supermarkets, so it's easy to walk through a supermarket and buy healthier food. It's easier to walk along our streets and see healthier options. We need school meals to be healthy and easy to put healthy meals together, so the chips are kept away from the pies, for example. So it makes it harder to put the less healthy combinations together. It's a little step in the right direction, but as it's based on the idea of smoking and reducing smoking advertising, driving less smoking behaviour, it needs to be part of a jigsaw that fits these pieces together so it makes healthier choices the easiest choices and the most desirable things to do.
What are the penalties for any company found to be breaching the ban?
Advertising initially is managed by, it's actually an organisation linked to the industry in the UK, and then it'll be reported to trading standards. So the actual way you report advertising issues is quite complicated in the UK, or you'd go through the broadcaster. So it's down to people reporting it and knowing who to report it to. You know, the Advertising Standard Authority, as I mentioned, is really good, but they actually only tell people to stop advertising And the problem with that is the advert's already been out there and have the influence. You know, there will be the broadcasting what dogs, which will keep it down, but it needs people to complain and notice it and question it. And as we're saying, a lot of the advertisers are really, really smart people, and we need to direct their intelligence to actually promoting people to have healthy lifestyles and actually harness some of those skills to help us to lead better lives.
Well, the government, I think, is also hoping that it will push the companies who are making the junk food to make their food healthier. Is that likely, do you think?
It could be the case. And we've seen a lot of that with what we call the sugar tax or the soft drinks industry over in the UK. That's taken out, you know, almost half the sugar in our soft drinks. So we have very few full sugar drinks in the UK. Most of them are around about the 4% or 4 grams per 100 mil. And they're going to lower that with some of these changes they're making. We need to also watch out for the unintended consequences. We've had problems in the UK that, you know, the slush drinks a lot of children like, they take the sugar out of those and they need to replace it with a different sweetener. And they can't just use the standard sweeteners you have in, like, your diet of sodas. They use something called glycerol. And we've had several cases of young children being hospitalised because that can affect how the blood and the sugar levels and the energy levels move around in the body. And it's made them quite well. They've all recovered. And the first case was actually an Australian child who was on holiday in the UK. There's a report. But it's very serious to see a young child collapse. So we need to make sure the changes we're making don't have any unintended, potentially nasty side effects. So we need to be very careful how we manipulate our food system. So I think it can have an effect, but we need to promote the healthy ingredients, more fibre, more protein, more healthy foods, and not just think how we can tinker around the edges to reduce the calorie or the fat or the salt content. We need to actually make the foods deliberately healthier, not just reducing something. So it's what we put back in is as important as what we take out.
Duane Mellor, thank you so much.
Thank you.